God's word that I'd like to share with you this morning. God's word to lift us up, to guide us, to nourish us, to strengthen us in our life as His redeemed children in Christ in this world. As a portion out of the gospel lesson. Gospel was quite long today, 20 verses, and had a lot of stuff in there from our Lord Jesus Christ. But as we look toward the end of our text for today, here Jesus says to us, said to his disciples, says to us, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault. Just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he does not listen to you, take care. Take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or tax collector. So far, God's word for our consideration this morning, as it guides us to think of ways to serve him. I'm sure you've heard these words before. They are common in the church. And common, I say, that pastors will speak of them and use them in church discipline. That if one is faltering over the edge in sin, and have sinned against a brother or a sister in Christ, that brother or sister goes to that individual and speaks words to them. And if you've won that sister or brother over, hey, that's great news. That's fantastic news. But it usually doesn't work that way. And we've heard that, yeah, now you got to take two or three witnesses so that by every mouth of the offending brother or sister may be heard and may be able to tell it to the church. And if he doesn't listen there, then what does the church do? It meets in voters' assembly and say, well, this one just erred, let's erase his name from our rolls. That's how it's commonly used. I want you to think about it in a different way. And I want you to think about, being on vacation, being someplace that's not here, and something happens that you are involved with, and that you can help someone else in trouble. And as you think about that, I want you to think about a family that was on vacation. They were at Niagara Falls, and they were on Goat Island, which is above the falls. And there was father, mother, and two sons. The younger son starts to slip and slide down the rocks, and he falls into the current water. The older brother reaches out and grabs his arm and his hand. And just as his strength is about to go away and lose his brother, he hears the words of his mother, "Don't let go, he's your brother." And he had amazing strength and held on to his brother. Well, these words that Jesus is speaking wants to encourage us to be about the same way, the same line, to hold on to our brother or sister who's falling into sin and fallen away from God. You know, in the world, as we look out at the world that we live in, there's common bonds among people. Teachers have a common bond because they're teaching. Doctors have a common bond because they're there to heal, to help people, to encourage. There's common bonds among truck drivers. You can see it driving down the highway. There's all those common bonds. But we have a common bond, you and I. We have a common bond because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Ever since the pastor said, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, God grabbed hold of you and put you in this common bond, that you have care for one another, that you are reaching out to others to help, to grab hold of. Cannot let someone fall away from God Himself. You know, there are times when Jesus tells us that no one will grab us out of His hand. But you know, we can fall away by ourselves. The date is immaterial because it was a long time ago, and I can't remember the date that I was confirmed in the Episcopal Church. But I do remember my mom's voice to me after being confirmed, after graduating from high school. She says, while I'm still living at home, she says, Scott, you can decide for yourself if you want to go to church or not. You don't tell a teenager that, because then they will stay home. That was the beginning of my slide. My slide away from God. My slide away from the Word. My slide away from Jesus Himself. And you know, that was kind of a bumpy slide because I couldn't grab hold of anything. I remember when I was working at St. Luke's Hospital in Duluth and I was a janitor. Excuse me. And I remember the president of the congregation bringing the new minister in. And he said to me, Scott, why don't you come here and meet your new minister? And it was, I can't remember his name. Slips away kind of easy. But I wasn't impressed. I stayed away from church. Until someone that I've been married to for 50 years came to me. Or we met, we dated, we went to church. And she says, you know, I cannot turn to the Episcopal Church. So I became Lutheran. God knew someone was there to help me, to reach out and say, come here. You believe, come closer. You see, in our lives, we commit sin. We fall away. We turn away from God. Whether it's because we have this confession and we recognize that we have sinned against God, or it's maybe because someone has told us, you know, you did something bad. You turned away from God. You turned away from His Word. You turned away from His brother or sister. Come back. You know, God uses times, He uses us, He uses our words, He uses our hands, He uses every bit of us to sow His seed. To sow His seed in the life of others, because we have this common bond. This common bond that makes us one, that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Not because we've done some fabulous work. Not because we've read some great novel that binds us together. Not because we go out and dig a ditch together. But because Jesus Christ died for us. And Jesus Christ rose from the dead for us, for you and me. And we are bound by Jesus and our faith in Jesus. And that encourages us and concerns us about our brother or sister, not to let go. It may seem because they're not here, that it's good to push them out of our minds and maybe out of our lives. But it's not. Because God wants us to hold on to that. And by sowing the seed, He is the one who tells us that He will make it grow. And something that bothers us from time to time is that that seed doesn't grow and produce in our time. We want the person to come back to church immediately, but it doesn't happen that way. There's baby steps that happen. There's baby steps. I remember when I was installed at St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Mapleton, Iowa, that one individual came to church, and my secretary said the next day as we were sitting and getting geared up for my ministry, she says, "You know, that person was in church and you could have blown me over with a feather." She didn't believe that he would come to church. And you know something? He didn't miss a Sunday. He didn't miss a Sunday at church. And when he was in the veterans hospital, he would call me when he got home and he'd say, "Pastor, I'll be in church tomorrow. I'll see you there." It was an amazing thing that God had done. And because of people not letting go, this individual knew where his place was. To hear the word of God, to be in church and to help others see. And he brought his wife along as well. And so, you know, God uses all that we have to touch someone else and not to let go. It's his words that we use. And it's his seed that we sow. It's his word. It's his son Jesus that we sow in the hearts and lives of others so that they will hear and believe. But we also remember that as we sow the seed, God causes it to grow. And as God causes it to grow, that individual comes back in God's time. Not our time. Now you probably saw the little tree that we have. Actually, it's not a little tree. It's a good size Charlie Brown tree. I like to call that there. There's going to be slips of paper out there. And there's going to be ribbons through those slips of paper eventually in the next coming weeks. I want you to put on there the blessings that God has blessed you with. And you see, that's God holding on to you, that you acknowledge those blessings that God has given you. And you put them on the tree, and eventually I'll get 3 or 4 of those slips of paper, and I'll have a prayer on that Sunday morning for those blessings that the person has brought. You don't need to sign your name. It can be as anonymous as you want it. But it's your blessing. Because God has blessed you to be a blessing in the lives of others. And that's what rings true. Don't let go. They're your brother or your sister in Christ. In Christ's holy name, amen.